What is the rule of three? That's what we're going to talk about this week. But before we get to this week's question, here's a quick review from iTunes. NM Firehorse says in a review titled, "Even I Am Getting This." I am 50-some years old. I learned COBOL back in high school, and that was the last time I did anything with code. My husband tried to teach me, but he used techie speak, and I soon zoned out because it was a foreign language. I saw this while searching for new podcasts to listen to and thought I would try it. So far, so good. I actually get what is being said the first time. I'm about to try the word game, and we'll see how that goes. Thank you for making this understandable. Thank you for your review and comments. If you'd like me to read your review, well, the first step is you have to leave a review. The thing I liked about this review was the understanding. It's a big goal for each episode to relate to something that you can understand. Okay, on to the question this week. Very few things are actually rules, and normally when I think of rules in C++, the first thing that comes to mind are the compiler syntax rules and linker rules. If you get these wrong, your program won't build. Either it won't compile, or it won't link into the final product. The rule of three is different because the compiler usually won't warn you when you forget, and your program will almost certainly not work correctly. You already know that you can declare classes and structs with member methods, but did you know that the compiler will write some methods for you if you leave them out? This is not a bad thing, and many times the compiler-generated methods will do what you need. You normally run into problems when you try to provide your own implementation for some of these methods. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a robot that knows how to bake a cake, and you are very careful with this robot to make sure that it never forgets to turn the oven off when it's done. The moment it takes the cake out of the oven, it pushes the bake button. Now, some ovens have a special off button, but your oven designers thought that was a waste of buttons and decided to have a single button that when pressed, turns the oven on, and then when pressed again, turns the oven off. Your robot is quite the success, and you decide to build another one. After all, you should be able to bake two cakes at the same time, and another robot would allow you to manage the baking in parallel. That just means that each robot is responsible for its own cake, and they're both in the kitchen at the same time. The problem here is that they're sharing the same oven. This is fine for the actual baking of the first cake, but what about the second one? Let's say the first robot gets access to some important tools, such as the mixing bowl, while the second robot has to wait. The first robot gets the cake in the oven 10 minutes before the second, and this means the first robot will take its cake out 10 minutes before the second. And what does the robot do? It turns off the oven. This is bad, but it gets worse. Not only is the second cake not fully cooked, but what does the second robot do when it takes its cake out of the oven? It also turns off the oven. But it actually turned the oven back on without realizing it. The result is not only do you end up with an undercooked cake, but you also take the chance of starting a fire. So what's all this have to do with programming? And what's the rule of three that this episode is supposed to explain? I'll get to that right after this message from our sponsor. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to the number 44222 now. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already, and these are focused on results. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. All right, so to start out, the robot did the right thing by trying to clean up after it was done. In C++, this is like a class or struct destructor. Anytime you have a resource that needs special work to clean up when you're done, you need a destructor. If you don't create a destructor, then your resource won't ever get cleaned up. This would be like just leaving the oven on all the time when it's done. That's no good. There are many times, though, when C++ will copy your objects or assign one object to another object. Copying an object is done through a special form of constructor called the copy constructor. And assigning one object to another is done through the assignment operator. Make sure you check out episodes 18 about constructors and 47 about operators for more information. Just like how the default destructor that the compiler gives you doesn't know how to clean up your object, the compiler will also give you a basic copy constructor and assignment operator that blindly copy and assign values from one instance to another. This is sometimes okay, but when you know that you have resources such as the oven that needs to be turned off that the compiler has no knowledge about, then you really need to provide an implementation for all three of these methods. Maybe you have a raw pointer that needs to be deleted to free up the memory. Or maybe you have a database connection that needs to be closed. The rule of three says that when you need to manage resources like this, and you find yourself needing to provide either a custom destructor, a copy constructor, or an assignment operator, then you need to implement all three. If you only provide a destructor that cleans up the resources, but not the other two, then whenever a copy of your object is made, it will copy the resource as is, and then both instances will try to clean up the resource when they get deleted. The same thing happens if you assign one instance to another. Without a custom assignment operator that also knows how to handle the resource, you'll end up with both instances trying to clean it up when done. There's also a couple more related rules called the rule of five and the rule of zero. The rule of five is actually a more modern version of the rule of three. With later versions of C++, there's a new concept called move semantics. I haven't explained this yet, so I'll leave that for a future episode. The important part, though, is that move semantics require a couple more methods called a move copy constructor and a move assignment operator. That brings the total number of methods that should be implemented together up to five. Either implement all five, or three if you don't care about move semantics, or don't implement any of them. That's where the rule of zero comes into the picture. You see, sometimes you might want a class to serve as a base class, which means that it should have a virtual destructor. I'll probably need to explain this too in a future episode. Just know that declaring a virtual destructor when it's not really needed for resource management is okay, but to follow the rule of five, go ahead and declare the other methods too and tell the compiler to go back to their default implementation. This will make it as if you didn't declare any of them. Just remember the old saying, one for all and all for one. If you need one of these methods, then make sure you provide all of them. Do you have a question that you'd like me to answer? Taking the time to ask a question helps not only you, but everybody who listens as well. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and you'll find a form that you can use to submit your question.